The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro News for Tuesday, the 12th of November, 2024. I do apologise ahead of coughing and sneezing here. I've got a bit of a cold. Don't know where it's come from. Probably the kids. They bring all kinds of stuff home, don't they? Let's look at the markets. FTSE 100 down 1% to 8,047. FTSE 250 down 0.75% to 20,568. The FTSE small cap down 0.6%, 6816. The AIM all share down 0.5%, 734. It's a clean sweep across the board. They're all down, 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 down. Brent crude. Let's look at Bitcoin. Bitcoin went to $90,000 overnight. And now it's just coming back a bit. It's now at $87,000. Of course, because Trump wants to make America the crypto capital of the world. He doesn't do things by halves, does he? I bet he won't mention Bitcoin for a long time now. He just wanted the vote. He wanted the crypto bros vote. It was obvious, wasn't it? Gold down 0.5% to $2,602 an ounce. I think it'll continue to rally, though. It'll have a little pause. It's rallied strongly recently. I think it'll keep going up. Brent crude, it's up 0.8% to $72 a barrel. And copper, it's down 1.75% down to how much? $9,160. Oh, dollars a ton. That's dropped off quite a bit. It was up to 10,200 back in October. From 10,200, 10,250, down to 9,166. Maybe worry about China. It's always China-related, copper. Okay, let's look. By the way, did I mention, yesterday I did a marathon session. I'm doing it four times this week, between 2 and 6. Voicing the audiobook version of my book. I find it very hard talking for 4 hours. I do like to talk, but 4 hours just reading out stuff, I find it really hard. Didn't like it at all. And I've got a cold. Typical, eh? I've got a cold and I have to voice my audiobook. By the way, it's on sale, on pre-order with Amazon, 23% off for the paperback version. And if you want a signed copy, let me know. I'll get someone to sign it for you. okay, macro story number one. Unemployment rises as pay growth slows again. The UK's unemployment has risen, the rate, official figures suggest, while pay growth continues to slow. The rate of unemployment stood at 4.3% in the 3 months to September, up from 4% the previous quarter. The ONS said, be careful of these figures, mind, because we're not very good at capturing them. We don't have much data going on. The Office for National Statistics, they can't capture data. Makes you question everything, doesn't it, really? If you can't do it, who can? Anyway, while wage growth has eased, pay is still rising faster than inflation, which measures the rate of price increases, of course. We know that. Excluding bonuses, pay grew at an annual rate of 4.8% between July and September, the lowest in more than 2 years. The number of vacancies also fell again, as they've been doing for more than 2 years now. Liz McEwen, who's Director of Economic Statistics at the ONS, said the latest figure suggested there was a continued easing of the labour market. Well, of course there is. The budget's knackered everything, isn't it? The imbeciles. They've killed growth. Their growth policy has actually killed growth. I fail to understand how Starmer and Reeves can't see, and I keep repeating this, that small and medium-sized businesses are the growth engine of the economy. You put up costs for those, not only costs, but workers' rights as well was increased, which costs money. So the national wage, national insurance, and workers' rights. And businesses are going to struggle. Many will go through. And they'll lay off people and they won't hire people. That's why the labour market's easing. It'll continue to do so as well. Let's be honest, the economy is not flying. Businesses are struggling. You add costs. Many of them will just sack people. Many of them will just go through, go bust. I say many, not many, but they will go bust. And of course, when you have less people working, less taxes paid, and less goes into the NHS, education, all that stuff, crime, it's brain dead. I just can't understand why Labour think, get on the worker, you know, fix the foundations, 22 billion black hole. Why they think that punishing people who employ people will grow the economy. Story number two. UK has huge opportunity, apparently, to lead on green investments. This is Starmer. This is quite a positive, you know, I do think this is a positive story. Britain has a huge opportunity to get ahead of other countries in the race for green investment after the election of Donald Trump as US President, Keir Starmer said, as he arrives in Azerbaijan for the COP29 summit. And he says, but I do think it's more than just an obligation. It's a huge opportunity. Fix the foundations, put more pounds in your pocket. Working people, the UK has a huge opportunity to get ahead here when it comes to renewables. That's why I'm encouraging as much investment as I can when it comes to carbon capture, when it comes to hydrogen, when it comes to offshore wind. He added, there's a global race on now to be the global leader of this. I want to be not only be in the race, but I want us to win the race. The British government officials believe that as Trump begins to unwind the Biden-era incentives, it could drive international investors to other countries, while the UK is hoping to capture much of that money. As part of that effort, ministers announced on Monday evening, that they would give offshore wind developers an extra £27 million for every gigawatt. A gigawatt! Of capacity they create to help build up the supply chain. The money will be paid on top of subsidies developers already get as part of the government's auction process. I do believe this is a good move. I know Trump thinks, oh, it's a hoax. If I was pitching to Trump, I'd say, listen, Donald, Big D, DJ, DJT, listen now. America's economy is the best in the world. We're tech leaders, okay? Now, one of the biggest expansion areas in our economy are data centers for AI. Trouble is, AI sucks in 10 times as much energy as a normal data center. Yes, we're going to need a drill, baby, drill. Oil and gas. We're going to need that. But frankly, we're going to need all the energy we can create and more. That means renewables as well. Also, renewables, you know, it's new tech. Don't, you know, stymie, don't throttle investment in this area because we want to be leaders in this field as we are in other tech fields. It's technology, isn't it? I don't know if he'd understand that. No, because he just thinks wind farms kill birds. And that's his whole thing. It's a hoax. Wind farms kill birds. He said, you got to stand below a wind farm and loads of birds at the bottom of a wind farm. The guy's absolutely insane, isn't he? Philip Clay, he is. He's a character, you know. As for the man himself, I don't know what he's like, but I did watch him on Joe Rogan. He came across quite well, I think. You know, he was a bit more personable. I think he does put on, you know, a bit of entertainment when he's doing rallies and stuff. But I think he just says it sometimes for effect, you know. It's a massive hoax. Global warming. Story number three, UK grocery inflation higher again as countdown to Christmas begins. Yeah, I was listening to taking the kids to school this morning and Heart FM started playing Christmas songs. They launched Christmas. And of course, they've had Heart Xmas has been on since October. I know because my wife listens to it. Insane in the membrane. British shoppers faced renewed pressure on their budgets in October after grocery price inflation edged higher for the second month in a row, industry data showed. Market researcher Kantar said annual grocery price inflation was 2.3% in the 4 weeks to November 3, having been 2% in the previous four-week period. The data showed prices are rising fastest in products such as chilled soft drinks. Really? In this weather? When was this? 4 weeks to November. Well, it's getting colder now, I suppose. It won't be that. It won't be so much demand going on there, consumer demand. And chocolate confectionery as well. And falling fast in items such as toothbrushes, household paper products, and sparkling wine. What's household paper products? It's toilet roll, isn't it? Why do they say household paper? What paper products are there? Apart from kitchen roll and toilet roll, what is household paper products? So essentially, it seems to me like people are not brushing their teeth very much, they're not wiping their backside, and they're not drinking as much, sparkling wine. But they are drinking soft, chilled drinks and chocolate. Their teeth are going to be terrible. UK supermarkets have warned that tax rises in the new Labour government's first budget last month, together with another rise in national will be inflationary. Of course it will. Of course it will. It's funny, Paddy, if he's listening, did text today, so I need to look at mortgages. Are interest rates coming down? I said they were. He's a big fan of Labour. I said they were until the budget. Now, in December, I don't know if they are. It went from I think a 70% chance, 60, 70% chance of interest rates coming down in December to about 20% now. You've got to keep going. You've got to keep going. The Bank of England, the government, my two biggest enemies of the economy, aren't they? Absolutely. They have no idea what they're doing. Mark my words, we will be in a... If they keep the restrictive policy and Rachel Reeves doesn't roll back... Well, she can't now. It's a mission that she was wrong, isn't it? If she... You know, lots of businesses are sending letters to her saying, even nurseries, they've got a business. They can't afford it. But she'll never roll back. No, we have to make tough decisions to fix the foundations. £22 billion black hole. Anyway, official data published last month showed overall UK inflation eased to 1.7% in September, and data for October will be published on November the 20th. So that's something to look forward to. Okay, some micro news, company news. Facilities by ADF, ticker ADF. Do you know, I sold these about a month back because the forecasts were very impressive. In fact, overly impressive. And I thought, I don't think they're going to meet that. They have to double their first half revenue to hit their forecasts. And they said for a while, yes, we're confident in the forecast. I thought, what? And I thought, and I said to the members of my club, so I'm selling this. So I write the blog when I sell something or buy something. I said, I'm selling this because I don't believe the forecast. I don't believe they'll hit them. I believe they'll come out with a profit warning or miss on expectations. And today, they come out with a profit warning. The leading provider of premium service production facilities to the UK film and high-end television industry today provides an update on trading in respect to the full year ended 31st December 2024. Following the conclusion of macroeconomic events on both sides of the Atlantic, it is now clear that a significant number of productions that ADF had in its sales pipeline for H2 financial year 24 will have to start dates pushed out to 25. They've had a big fall today. In fact, I think it's quite compelling now, I think. But you don't know if they're going to hit the forecast, the renewed forecast. So they are down, where are they? Down 40%. So their market cap before the fall today was 56 million. So what, they're around about 30 million market cap? So the new forecasts are 35.1 million revenue. This was down from about 45, I think. And this is versus 34.8. So hardly grown there. Profitable taxes forecast to come in 2.1 million versus 615k. On the 31st of October 2024, the group had unaudited cash balances of approximately 3.3 million. Okay. Next, Cakebox. The UK's largest retailer, Fresh Cream Celebration Cakes, today announces half-year results to the 30th of September. Their market cap is about 75 million. Revenue for the half-year was at 18.7 versus 18 last year, so a little bit of growth there. So I want this improvement on these three metrics. So that's an improvement, tick. Pre-tax profit, 2.8 versus 2.4, tick. Net cash, 5.6 versus 5.9. But 2 out of 3 is not bad. And 300K down on cash. The forecast, by the way, for the year is 40.5 million of revenue, 6.6 of profit before tax. What's that? Puts them on at, what, 13? PE 13s for that? It's not bad. I don't know. I can't get excited about Cakebox, though. You know, where are they? They're down 1.6% to 185, and facilities by ADF is down 40% to 31 pence. Next, Concurrent Technologies. Good business, this. A designer and manufacturer of leading-edge computer products, systems, and mission-critical solutions used in high-performance markets by some of the world's major OEMs, announced that the systems business unit in Los Angeles has secured a $3.72 million contract with a leading defense platform provider in Asia. Let's be honest. Spending on defense is only going up. I think it's, you know, worthwhile having a company sort of like this in your portfolio. Not this, but like this, you know, in defense. If they haven't, sorry, I'm going to sneeze. If they haven't rallied to, I went from a sneeze to a yawn then. If they haven't rallied too strongly. Market cap, 107 million. Forecast is for 36 million versus 31.6 last year. So nice bit of growth there. What's that, 10, 20%? Yeah, but 20%. And profit for tax is forecast at 4.75 million versus 3.47. So it's not cheap, but it's a good business. The margin, look at that margin, a decent margin. Marks Electrical Group, MRK, a fast-growing online electrical retailer, today announces its unaudited results for 6 months ended the 30th of September. I just think there's so much competition in this field, isn't it? And also, of course, cost-of-living crisis. People are only going to replace stuff if they desperately need to. So they've got a market cap of 56 million. In fact, with Concurrent. Concurrent's up 5.6% to 132. Marks, by the way, they say half year, 58.4 million is top line versus last year's 53.8. A loss before tax of 1 million versus a profit last year of 1.16. Net cash position of 6.7. versus 10.9. So you can see margins are squeezed there and they've obviously lost money. It's gone down for, what, 3-4 million quid there they've lost. Forecasts for the year, 119.6 million versus 114.3. But again, margins have been squeezed because its profit before tax has been dropped, downgraded today to 2.1 million versus 3.3. So yeah, it's a tough market for that company, you know. I mean, they are owner-operated, so maybe that's the thing. Windar Photonics. It's another company I had a little dabble in, didn't dabble in, and I just sold a while back because I just thought, no. Again, it was a sort of, the forecasts were huge and quite impressive and profitable. But a few weeks back, I said, do you know what? I'm only going to hold companies I'm really sure of at the moment, and that is basically five companies. That's it. So I got rid of Windar. In fact, Marks, by the way, is down 13.68%. Windar, the technology group which has developed its Wind Eye and Wind Timizer wind sensors and its related Nexus software suite designed to efficiently increase the power output and reduce lifetime operating costs of electricity-generating wind turbines, today provides an update on current trading. And they basically say, profit warning, delays in contracts. Market cap of 33 million. Forecast is for 6.6 million top line versus 4.8. So good growth there. And a profit of 400K versus 300K loss. Not cheap, though, considering it's 33 million. And I think, you know, why I took a position a while back was because I think top line was bigger than that, I think. Initially, and the growth is bigger. But they are down 5.42%. Anything else? Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot. But one of my holdings. Right, I'll have to go back to it. But this one here is not one of my holdings. Zoo Digital, a world-leading provider of cloud-based localization and digital media services to the global entertainment industry, announces unaudited financial results for 6 months, ended the 30th of September. Market cap, $33 million. Revenue for the half year, $27.5 million versus $21.4 million, so it's gone up. Loss before tax of $2.66 million $1 million versus $10 million, so it's improved, but it's still making a loss. Cash has gone down from 16.78 million to 4.34. They've got debt of 5.6 million, so net debt of about 128 odd K. The forecast is for 55 million top line for the full year and a loss before tax of 3.6. They're going to need some cash, aren't they? By the looks of it. And star standout of the day is one I own, of course, as Time Finance being upgraded by the brokers there again. Big sell-off here. Well, it was a big sell-off, but it dropped by like 10% at one point yesterday. Really odd. Big volume. It's almost like the volume was 1 million shares traded when average volume is about 300,000. And it dropped like 8.7% at close of play. I thought, what the heck is going on? Today, they came out with a trading update. The independent specialist finance provider announces that it's continued to enjoy positive trading momentum throughout the first 5 months of 24-25 financial year and confirms that the company will provide a scheduled trading update in respect of H1 on Thursday, the 19th of December. This positive momentum year-to-date includes record revenues, a lending book hitting new heights, and arrears remaining well under control. As a result, the board now has increased confidence that the group performance for financial year 25 will be ahead of current market expectations. Revenue and profit before tax for financial year 25 are now expected to be not less than 35.1 million revenue and 7.2 million of profit before tax. This is up from 34.5 to 35.1 and 6.9 to 7.2. It creeps up all the time. The amount of times they've been upgraded. Do you know what got on my nerves, actually? I'm watching Paul and Paul. Paul Hill, Paul Scott. And someone asked about Time Finance. Both of them had no idea about Time Finance. And I do like what they put out there. It's very good, you know, because they're enthusiastic about shares. I like that. But guys, if you are listening to this, if you were asked about a company you know nothing about, rather than just cast aspersions or give your opinion when you obviously haven't researched it, just say, I don't know, to be honest. I haven't researched that company. Because you give a negative spin on it, well, you've done nothing, anything about it. But apart from that, I think the content they put out is very, very good. So that annoyed me a little bit. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, my book is now on pre-order. 23% off the paperback version at Amazon. And I'm voicing the audiobook this afternoon, a four-hour sesh. A four-hour oral sesh. That's it. Thanks for speaking to me. I've got a cold. I'm a bit delirious, I think. Thanks for listening. And if you could give it a 5-star review, by all means do. And share it. But I mean it, do. Thanks so much. Speak to you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.